In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, this is Father Tom, and today we look at the 22nd chapter of St. Luke. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near. It's called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. It was the feast of the Passover. The Passover for the Jews is a very joyous feast. It happens in the springtime. It commemorates the time when Israel escaped the bondage of Pharaoh by placing the blood of a lamb upon the doorposts. It was everybody's wish and everybody's desire that one day Passover would be spent in Jerusalem, for it is the greatest feast of the Jews. It is really that feast of their independence. In Jerusalem, the city swells. It swells and swells and swells. People coming to celebrate the feast of Passover, coming to celebrate the independence that God gave Israel from Pharaoh. Oh, the city is busy. The city is swelling. And Judas looks for an opportunity to betray Jesus, not when the people are all around, but when the people are few. That's what it says. And Judas knew the schedule of Jesus. Judas knew the schedule of Jesus. He knew where Jesus went. I now look at the last verse of the 7th chapter of St. John and the first verse of the 8th chapter. And the scripture says, "And each went to his own house, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." Judas knew that this was the place where the Lord went to pray. It was that place that overlooked the holy city of Jerusalem. It still does. It was that place that Jesus cried out, "How I longed to be like a mother hen that takes her chicks under her wings, but you would not come." Judas knew the place where the people weren't would be the Mount of Olives, the place where Jesus went to pray, the place where he communed with his Father. So he sought a way with the chief priests to find Jesus and to turn him over while the crowds were few. You can see that sin is exacting. Sin is exacting. It's calculating. It doesn't wait for an opportunity, it looks for the opportunity. And this is exactly what happened with Jesus. Judas knew that he would be alone with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. Judas knew that this was the place where the Lord was so in union with his heavenly Father. And so sin calculated. We will meet him on the Mount of Olives. We will meet him where the people aren't, because all the people were talking about Jesus. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody was following him. Things were happening. This was the height of his ministry. But as I said yesterday, very, very, very quietly, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Why? Because though he had healed, and though he had delivered, and though he had set people free, and though he had multiplied bread, they still were vying for positions. I want to be at your right, and I want to be at your left. They still were vying for positions. Who would be the first? Their hearts were still far from the Lord. And in the plan of God, Judas betrays Jesus. But it is in that power of the cross that Jesus will reconcile the whole world to himself. It is in the power of the cross that Jesus will draw all men unto himself. It is in the power of the cross that he will defeat the arch enemy, Satan. It is in the power of the cross that God will destroy the powers of darkness, and the light will invade the world as he offers himself a living sacrifice of praise. But sin is exacting. Maybe you have been drawn into sin. Maybe you have been looking for occasions to betray Jesus. Oh, not to betray Jesus specifically, but to betray Jesus with your eyes, and to betray Jesus with your mind, and to betray Jesus with your whatever. With stealing. Sin is calculating. Because the power behind sin is the devil. And the devil hates Jesus Christ. Each went to his own house, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Oh, and chapters later we will see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. We will see him suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out, "Father, Father, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." He was not talking about his death. He was talking about the anguish that he was experiencing in the garden, that he was drawing all men unto himself, that he was absorbing the sin of the world, that he took upon himself our sins, our transgressions, our pain, our alienation from the Lord. Father, Father. And in the intimate moment of calling on the Father, in the intimate moment of an angel coming to strengthen Jesus, in walks Judas, calculated with a cohort of soldiers to arrest the master. You must know that sin is out to destroy. You must know that it is nothing. It is not taking nothing into you when you depart from Jesus. It is taking poison, and it spreads. It spreads. It spreads. It was not only Judas that the devil was after, but in that 22nd chapter of St. Luke, Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, that when you are converted, you will strengthen your brothers. Oh, in those days the devil was so active to try to destroy Jesus, to try to destroy him through the very people that were closest to him, his 12. Simon, 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 Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. How many of you are being sifted like wheat right now? How many of you are being literally sifted like wheat that the Lord wants you so badly, but one is having a tug of war in your heart? How many of you are being sifted as wheat? But we take consolation in the words that Jesus said to Simon, "But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you." Do you know that in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the pain, do you know that he is praying for you? Do you know that as the great high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for you? Do you know that he, in the midst of your agony, went to his agony so that you would be victorious? Do you know that he wants you to expose the sin, that he wants you to have that sin brought into the light, that it is not to stay in the darkness, but it is to stay in the light, for in the light it has no power over you? Do you know? Oh, so many things were acting in those days, so many things. There was the power of darkness against the power of light. And you must know that it is that same power of darkness that tries to destroy God's people. And it is that same power of light that Jesus says, "But I have prayed for you that when you are converted, when you turn, you may help your brothers." You must know that Jesus, in the midst of your struggle, as the great high priest, ever lives to make intercession for you, constantly praying for you, constantly calling upon the name of the Father for you, constantly, 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 and he will not stop. He will not stop, for the battle rages. The battle raged in Judas, and the battle raged in Simon Peter, and the battle rages in us. But he says, "I have prayed for you." We remember his words as the great high priestly prayer. "I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those that you have given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me." It sounds almost unlike Jesus. "I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those that you have given me out of the world. And I pray for those that will hear their word." It is very, very, very beautiful that Jesus narrows his prayers to the people that belong to him. "I do not pray for the world." It sounds unlike Jesus. "But I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they may be completely one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me." If Jesus does not pray for the world, then who does? Then we do. Oh, it is our vocation to pray for the world. Our vocation to go after those who are lost. Our vocation to seek and save that which is lost. For Jesus prays for us so that we might go after the world one at a time. And the world as we know it is so far away from God. The world as we know it is in perdition. The world as we know it is alienated from the Lord, separated. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom thou hast given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be completely one in us, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that when you turn, you may strengthen your brethren. Do not go the way of Judas. Do not go the way of betrayal. Do not go the way of sin. Do not go the way of calculating sin. Do not go that way. Do not go that way. Do not go that way. It is destructive. It will destroy you. It will destroy you. But Jesus says, I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you. And how does he pray for us? I tell you that as the Father beholds the wounded hands of Jesus, he beholds you. As the Father beholds the wounded feet of Jesus, he beholds you. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for those whom thou hast given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me. And it is their vocation to go after the world as I pray for them. You may seem to be all alone today, but today Jesus is praying for you. You may seem that you have no power today, but Jesus is praying for you. It may seem that the winds of temptation are blowing and they feel like they're going to knock you over, but I say to you today, Jesus is praying for you. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the great high priest who sticks by his word. I do not pray for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me out of the world, that they may be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. As the great high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for you, praying for you, praying for you. And as the Father beholds the Son, as the Father beholds the Son, he beholds you. For I have graven you in the palm of my hands. I have graven you in the palm of my hands, and you are mine. Though your mother or your father forsake you, I will never forsake you. I will never forsake you. I ever live to pray for you. I am the great high priest. You are mine. I hold you. I grasp you. And no one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of my hand. Do you hear that? No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one, no one, no one can snatch you out of my hand, because you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. I have shed my blood for you. I have gone to the cross for you. I have died for you. I have been buried for you. I have been raised for you. No one can snatch you out of my hand. For the Father and I are one, and I am greater than all that is evil. And though Satan desires to sift you as wheat, Jesus says, I am praying for you, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never let you go. The grasp of Jesus is so much greater than any other grasp. He ever lives to make intercession for you. You are not alone. He loves you. You are not alone. He prays for you. You are not alone. He is with you. You are not alone. It is time to rejoice. It is time to remember. It is time to remember the things that the Lord has done. It is time to remember all that the Lord has done for you in the midst of what you are going through today. It is time to remember. It was last Thursday I was with Ryan. We had just buried Eric's mother. And as we're driving down the street in Weymouth, on our way to the airport to get him home, Ryan says, "Sometimes it's very difficult to recount the blessings of God." We had just buried Eric's mother. She died. She took a heart attack. One moment she's alive, and the next moment she's dying. This is the day of the funeral. And he says, "Sometimes it's so difficult to recount the blessings of God." In the midst of all the woes that we go through, in the midst of the devil trying to sift us out like wheat, it is time to recall the blessings of God. If only one blessing, what the Lord has done, he will do again. How the Lord has saved, how the Lord has ransomed, how the Lord has come to us in the past, how the Lord has promised that he will be faithful even if we are not faithful. Oh, recall what God has done. Recall what God has done. Recall that the Lord is your shepherd. Recall that he ever lives to make intercession for you. Recall that his prayer is greater than the sifting of Satan. Recall, recall what God has done, and give him thanks and give him praise. Even if it's difficult, recall what he has done for you. Recall it. Recall it. Bring it to memory. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Even if your mind be blank. Even if your mind be blank. Go back. Go back. Go back and remember the things that the Lord has done for you. How he has called you. How he has been faithful. How he has not lost you. How he has always pulled through. Recall, 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 remember, remember, remember. And if it's difficult, spend time. If you have to write it down, spend time writing it down, writing it down, writing it down. How the Lord has answered your prayer. How the Lord has come in the past. And what he did in the past, he'll do in the present. What he did in the past, he'll do in the future. For he says, I have prayed for you. 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 And my prayer is more powerful than the sifting of Satan. My prayer is more powerful than any temptation. My prayer is more powerful than any calculated sin. My prayer for you is that you be mine and I be yours. My prayer is that you have victory in the midst of all your woes. My prayer is that I went to the cross for you, and that I bore you up, and I drew you into my sacred heart, and that I never lose anyone. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me, and no one who comes to me will I ever reject. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And it is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the last day. Recall, 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 remember what the Lord has done. Remember, even as you are being sifted like wheat, remember that the Lord is faithful. Remember that he doesn't lose one. Remember that no one can snatch you out of his hands. Remember, 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 and know what God did in the past, he will do in the present, and he will do in the future. Though the darkness would cover you, though your sky would seem to have no stars today, though the waters seem to be surging over you, remember that the Lord says, my gentle hand is there to save you, and my hand is not shortened to save. Take hold of my wounded hand, for I will never leave you, and I will never desert you. For you are mine, and I have branded you on the palms of my hands. It is always time to remember, even when the blessings that God did in the past are so difficult to remember because of the sifting that you are going through. It is time to remember, to recall, to thank God for what he did, and what he did he will do again, for he lives to make intercession for you. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. We are $10,000 short this month, and you know what? God has always provided, and if he wants us to continue, he will continue to provide. So our mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We were going over some of the letters last night that people have written, and how I'm so grateful for the encouragement that they give me, that these broadcasts are a blessing to these people, that God has used these broadcasts to pull them out of darkness. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.